Good morning. So is winter officially here? That kind of feels like it, doesn't it? Why don't we pray and then read our Bibles together? God, thank you for being good to us and for loving us and for letting us come together in this place and remember you and then listen to your word. So God, I pray that as we read, that the words from your word would sink deeply into us and that you would draw us to you and that you would transform us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So today I want to look at a pretty big, I think it's a pretty universal idea. The idea being that it doesn't count if you don't finish well. You say, well, what? What doesn't count? I think pretty much anything. I was, pulling back and trying to find something that I could, share that I hadn't finished well. And after discarding, the obvious, two embarrassing ones. And I'm refinishing the deck and it's going really, really well. I mean, the wood on our deck is, when you get away all the years of like junk from the top of when you take a sander and go after it, it's like, it looks beautiful. And so parts of the deck look like brand new wood has been installed. I'm quite proud of it, but I have to finish sanding it, and then I have to stain it. And don't worry, I'm not asking for help. We got it. I have two strapping young lads that are helping me. My sons, we're good. But if winter comes, like really comes, and I'm not finished yet, all the sanding that I've done doesn't count for anything, and I can't go to my wife and say, look it. You know, and I said at the beginning of the summer last year that I was going to get this deck sanded and stained, and it was going to be beautiful, and I have the stain in the garage now, and it's ready to go. It's kind of there. It's like halfway there. It's that only works in a Bon Jovi song, right? It doesn't count if you don't finish well. You have to finish well. You have to finish all the way. It has to be done. Everything is like that, right? A career, a job. If you don't finish it well, it's not done. My mom had an expression and I don't remember if that's for the best about getting a job done well. Everything is like that. Our relationship with God especially is like that. It doesn't count if you don't finish it well. And our story today is going to talk to us about that. It's going to show us this just very, very clearly. It's the story of Solomon. Look at 1 Kings chapter 2. Solomon gets a lot of screen time, so we can't read everything that's said about him, but you could during this week by yourself in your own devotions or with your family and family devotions, you could start even before what we're going to start today, like a chapter or two before that, and just read everything that's written about Solomon. And I would highly encourage you to do that. Today, we're going to just jump through some of the highlights of his life. Look at the highlight reel. Look at 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 1. He receives the kingdom from David. There's a couple other brothers. We saw one last week who tried to take the kingdom from King David. Didn't work out for them. Solomon gets the kingdom from his father. When David's time to die drew near, he commanded Solomon, his son, saying, I am about to go the way of all the earth. Be strong, show yourself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord your God, walking in his ways and keeping his statutes, his commandments, his rules, and his testimony, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn, that the Lord may establish his word that he spoke concerning me, saying, if your sons pay close attention to their way, to walk before me in faithfulness with all their heart and with all their soul, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. So David's turning it over to his son and saying, okay, that promise that God gave me kind of depends on you now. So walk before God. And there's a bit of foreshadowing in this because David's at the end of his life and he is finishing well. He's a man after God's own heart. He messed up along the way, but a man after God's own heart. He's finishing well. And now he's turning it over to his son and he's saying, do the same thing that you've literally just seen me do up until now. You've seen me walk with God. Now you do that. You do that. And Solomon started so well, incredibly well. Look at chapter 3, 1 Kings chapter 3. Look at we'll read just for a minute here because Solomon knows God and he worships God and he talks to God and God talks to him. It's incredible. Look at this. It is 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 3. Solomon loved the Lord. Think about that. The greatest commandment, right? Love the Lord your God. He loved the Lord. Would that that could be said about you and I. Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David, his father. Only he sacrificed and made offerings at the high places, and the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there. And for that was the great high place. Solomon used to offer 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. You imagine, this is extravagant sacrifice, extravagant worship. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give you." I don't think God, and correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think anywhere in the Bible has God, what did God ever say that to any other person? "Ask what I shall give you." And Solomon said, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in faithfulness and righteousness and uprightness of heart toward you, and you have kept for him this great and steadfast love and have given him a son to sit on his throne this day. And now, O God, Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of David my father. Although I am but a little child, I do not know how to come in or go out. And your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people, too many to be numbered or counted for multitude. Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this great your great people?" So he asked for wisdom to be able to do well the job that God has given to him. And it pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked him this. And God said to him, "Because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, behold, I now do according to your word. Behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind so that none like you who has been before you and none like you shall arise after you. I give you also what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that no other king shall compare with you in all your days. And if you will walk in my ways, keeping my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I shall lengthen your days." And Solomon awoke, and behold, it was a dream. He came to Jerusalem and stood before the ark of the covenant of the Lord and offered up burnt offerings and peace offerings and made a feast for all his servant. He worshiped God extravagantly. He loved God. He knew God. He walked closely with God. God spoke to him, and he loved God for God, because even when God said, "Ask me for anything," he didn't say, "Great, I've been wanting all this other stuff, and I've been coming to church and doing what you want me to, and now finally I get mine." No, he said, "I want wisdom." That was it. I want wisdom. And God was impressed by this, because he wasn't using God to get what he really wanted. He wanted God. And it's an incredible, incredible thing I wish we could stop there, but we'll continue. And it still goes well, because not only did he worship God, but then he dedicated himself to building up the establishing the kingdom of God in Israel. So he built a temple for the worship of God. It wasn't enough that he was going to worship God extravagantly. He built a temple so that everyone who would come after him would be able to worship God the way that he worshiped the God that he loved. Look at 1 Kings. There's so much we could read here. Look at 1 Kings 5. We'll just take a snippet in here, and he's talking about the project that he's undertaking. 1 Kings chapter 5, verse 4. "But now the Lord my God has given me rest on every side. There is neither adversary nor misfortune, and so I intend to build a house for the name of the Lord my God, as the Lord said to David my father, your son, whom I set on your throne in your place, shall build a house for my name." So God's fulfilling the promise that he made to David when David wanted to make a house for him, a temple for him, and he's letting Solomon do it, and Solomon is doing it. He's establishing, he's giving himself to building up God's kingdom, and it becomes his thing. It becomes his project. Look over at chapter 6, verse 12. 1 Kings 6, verse 12. "Concerning this house, and then the word of the Lord," I think I started too soon. Go to verse 11. "Now the word of the Lord came to Solomon, concerning this house that you are building, if you will walk in my statutes and obey my rules and keep my commandments and walk in them, I will establish my word with you, which I spoke to David your father, and I will dwell among the children of Israel and will not forsake my people Israel." He's talking with God. He's communicating with God. God's talking to him. And then, we're not going to read it today. Your lunchtime plans will thank me, but read it this week. Read chapter 8. Read all of chapter 8. It's when he dedicates the temple, and he talks to God, and then he talks to the people, and then God talks to him, and he offers sacrifices to God, and it is the most beautiful chapter. It compares well with any of the Psalms that David wrote. It's worship and it's him and God, and he loves the Lord. He loves God. And so then God comes to him after that. As you see, he started well, right? You couldn't ask for somebody to have started their walk with God and their life better. He loves the Lord. He gives himself to knowing God and talking with God and spending time with God. That's what his life is all about, to the point where God talks back to him. And then he builds up the temple. He builds up the kingdom of God. It's incredible. You say, can it get any better? And it could, but unfortunately it doesn't. But before things go downhill, God comes to Solomon and he warns him. And it's as if God is saying, finish this well. That's not the exact words that are used. We'll read what God says to Solomon. Excuse me. But God comes to him and he gives him a warning, exhortation, and it's a finish well. Why? Because it doesn't matter if you don't finish well. It doesn't matter if you don't finish well. Look at 1 Kings chapter 9, verse 1. As soon as Solomon had finished building the house of the Lord and the king's house and all that Solomon desired to build, the Lord appeared to Solomon a second time as he appeared to him at Gibeon. The Lord said to him, I have heard your prayer and your plea, which you have made before me. I've consecrated this house that you have built by putting my name there forever. My eyes and my heart will be there for all time. As for you, now listen, here comes the warning. Here comes the guidance, the exhortation. As for you, if you will walk before me, as David your father walked, with integrity of heart and uprightness, doing according to all that I've commanded you, and keep my statutes and my rules, then I will establish your royal throne over Israel forever. And I promised David your father, saying, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. But if you turn aside, excuse me, you know, when you eat chili, like hot food, and there's this in your throat and you like can't stop coughing, haven't eaten hot food, but it's there. Okay, keep going. We'll try to. But if you turn aside from following me, you are your children, and do not keep my commandments and my statutes that I've set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them. And you know that Solomon right now is thinking, serve other gods and worship them. What are you talking about? I would never do that. I love you. I built a place to worship you. That's the point of the temple. I'm not going to do that. That would be ludicrous. I'm not going to turn aside from you. I've got this. I'm not going to do that. Doesn't say that he thought that. I bet that's what he was thinking. God says, then I will cut off Israel from the land that I've given them. And the house that I've consecrated for my name, I will cast out of my sight, and Israel will become a proverb and a byword among all people. And this house will become a heap of ruins. Everyone passing by it will be astonished and will hiss. And they will say, why has the Lord done this to this land and to this house? And they will say, because they abandoned the Lord their God that brought their fathers out of the land of Egypt and laid hold on other gods and worshiped them and served them. Therefore, the Lord has brought all this disaster upon them. God warns him, and he warns him. He says, finish well. In so many words, finish well. Don't stop where you are. And he doesn't finish well. This is a sad story. I don't think we normally follow the story of Solomon all the way to the end. We read the story of David, and it's a good story. Read the story of Solomon. It's a good story. And he writes the book of Proverbs. That's how much better can it get than that? He builds the temple to God. And I don't think we, at least not in Sunday school, we don't follow the story of Solomon all the way to the end, because it doesn't end well. It's a sad, sad story. It's a tragedy. It's not a happy story. Look at 1 Kings chapter 11. God talks to Solomon again. That's good, right? No, it's not. And because look at what he tells him. It is so, so sad. Now King Solomon, 1 Kings 11, verse 1. Now King Solomon loved many foreign women. Remember the command that God kept telling his people as they came out of Egypt? Don't marry people from other nations, nations that don't know me, because they'll turn your hearts to follow their gods. Don't marry people who don't know and love me, in summary. But Solomon loved many foreign women, along with the daughter of the Pharaoh, Moabite, Ammonite, Edomite, Sidon, Hittite women, from the nations concerning which the Lord has said to the people of Israel, you shall not enter into marriage with them, neither shall they with you, for surely they will turn your heart after their gods. Solomon clung to these in love. He had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For when Solomon was old, his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not wholly true to the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. So Solomon did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and did not wholly follow the Lord, as David his father had done. Then Solomon who built the temple for God, the worship of the one true God, and Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, and for Molech, the abomination of the Ammonites, on the mountain east of Jerusalem. And so he did for all his foreign wives, who made offerings and sacrifices to their gods. Solomon didn't build a temple. He built a bunch of temples. And the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart had turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice. And it commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods. But he did not keep what the Lord commanded. Therefore the Lord said to Solomon, since this has been your practice and you have not kept my commandment and my statutes that I have commanded you, I will surely tear the kingdom from you and I will give it to your servant. Yet for the sake of David your father, I will not do it in your days, but I will tear it out of the hands of your sons. However, I will not tear away all the kingdom, but I will give one tribe to your son for the sake of David my servant, for the sake of Jerusalem who I have chosen. And the Lord raised up an adversary against Solomon, Hadad the Edomite. He was of the royal house of Edom. Solomon turned away from God, and he substituted God in his heart with idols, actual idols that he went and worshipped. He built temples to them, and he went with his wives to worship their gods, and tons of other idols, starting with the women that he put in the center of his heart instead of God, and the stuff, and the... Read Ecclesiastes chapters 1 and 2. The stuff that he ran after and the projects that he ran after and the parties that he ran after and everything that he tried to do to find happiness, he replaced God in the center of his heart, and he literally gained the world. He had everything. Smartest man in all the world. Had more wives, concubines than anyone. He had it all. He had stuff and projects and building projects and money and money and money. You just read the story, the part that we didn't read. He had so much right before that at the end of chapter 10, Solomon's great wealth. Tons, an unimaginable amount of wealth. He had everything. He gained the world and he lost his soul. He didn't finish well. It only counts if you finish well. That's the point of Solomon's story. That's the point of the story of Solomon for us today. It's everything that he had done before. His relationship with God before. He loved the Lord. Didn't count for anything at the end. Why? He walked away from God. God comes to him one last time in awful, awful judgment. He said, you blew it. You didn't finish well. You walked away from me. You left me. And the saddest part of all that, the story doesn't continue with Solomon's great repentance and returning to God. It's not there. Probably because it didn't happen. He walked away from God. He ended his life far, far away from God. It's an incredibly, incredibly sad story on its own. But it contains a warning for you and I. This story has a warning for you and I. What is the warning? It's we need to finish well. Look at Matthew chapter 24. We'll get a couple passages, a couple things Jesus said in the New Testament for us. Matthew chapter 24, verse 13. Jesus is talking now, and what does he say? The one who endures to the end will be saved. It only counts if you finish well. It only counts if you finish well. What's enduring to the end? What's finishing well? It's being close to God. It's knowing God as your Father. It's spending time with Him. It's serving Jesus. It's dedicating yourself to raising up His kingdom. It's giving yourself to Him. It's being united with Him and to His family. That's what finishing well is. That's what enduring till the end is. That's what finishing well is. And it only counts for you and I if we finish well. It's not optional. There were like a really good 10 years of Christian service and I served the Lord and I, I did stuff and I studied with, I even baptized somebody and I read my Bible. I knew God. I still remember my Bible. I could quote Bible to you to this day. That was 10 years ago. And those 10 years were awesome, but time has gone by. And that counts for something, right? It doesn't. It only counts if we finish well, if we get to the end. And it's hard to get to the end well. Just think about it. There's so many that don't. You could just close your eyes and think for a minute and think of that person and that person and that person. They started. I remember they were baptized. I remember that person being baptized. I remember that person being baptized. And I remember their fire for the Lord and their zeal. And they're gone now. They're gone. Like they didn't move away. They're gone far away from God. They're not finishing well. Maybe they'll come back. That would be our hope and our prayer. Maybe they will finish well. But right now, path they're on, not going to finish well. That is the reality of so many. Why? Because it's so hard to finish well. There's so many detours and we get lazy and there's temptations and then we want to throw in the towel. And the Christian thing is just I'm discouraged and I'm bored. And it's not working for me. And when was the last time you want to just throw in the towel and say, I'm done with this. I want to break from this. So many start and so few finish. That's the reality. And you know what? I think a lot of times, and I've heard this from a lot of people who at the time weren't Christians or are Christians, that the reason I didn't want to get in the water for so long was because I saw so many other people start and then peel off and split off, and I didn't want to do that. And maybe that's why so many people don't become Christians. They see other people become Christians and not finish, and if they can't, how is there any hope for me? And that's the question for us today. What's the hope for us? How do we finish well? If the wisest man in the world, well, before Jesus, because, you know, no one was wiser than God, right? But if the wisest human in the world before Christ couldn't finish well, even after God talked to him, said, finish well, what hope is there for you and I? What hope is there that we will, from the day we're sitting here today until the day we leave this world, that we'll be faithful, that we will endure to the end? We need help, and we're going to end today where we always end. Jesus rescues us. He comes, drops in the middle of our life today when we say, I don't know if I'll be able to finish well. And he drops into our life, and he rescues us. He rescues us. He rescues us. Why? Because he finished well. And Jesus is able to help us finish well because he finished well. He did what Solomon didn't do. Go to the book of John. I had to pare this down. There's so many places we could have looked at, but these are the two concise little verses. John 17, verse 4. Look what Jesus says to God at the end of his life, right before he goes to the cross. I glorified you on the earth, having accomplished, or that's completed, the work you gave me to do. And then flip over to chapter 19, verse 28. Now Jesus is hanging on the cross in agony. 19:28, book of John. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, to fulfill the scripture, I thirst. A jar full of sour wine stood there. So they put a sponge full of sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. And when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. He bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Jesus is the true and better Solomon because he didn't just start well. Oh, he started well like Solomon. He loved God, his father. Solomon did. He dedicated his life to building up the kingdom of God, to bringing the kingdom of God to earth as Solomon did as well. But then, different from Solomon, very different from Solomon, he was faithful to the end. He went to the cross. You remember Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, Father, take this from me, but if not my will, but thine be done. He went to the cross with incredible pain and anguish, knowing what was going to happen. And then that was fulfilled and it was horrific. And he was faithful to the end. He suffered and obeyed. And he didn't split off. He didn't detour. He didn't seek after idols. He finished well. And that's why Jesus is our hope. He's our hope. And today, as we sit here and we say, okay, how am I going to finish well? Jesus is our hope. He's our hope. Why? Because he's our inspiration. Because in the same way that Solomon is such a letdown and a discouragement, and we can read Solomon and say, if he couldn't finish well, how is it possible that I'm going to finish well? I'm prone to wander. I know it. I'm prone to leave the God I love. How will I finish well? Jesus is the opposite of that. He's our inspiration, because if he was able to finish well, he was fully God, but he was also fully man, and he finished well, and his path to finishing well was much more difficult than your and my path will be and is. And if he was able to finish well, we don't have to finish like Solomon finished. We can be like Christ. We can finish well. That's inspirational. And he's also our salvation. Because of the way he finished well, he went to the cross, he died, he paid the price for our sins. That also includes the price, listen, for our sins when we fail and fall and stumble and take the detours. And then when we come back, he allows us to finish well in spite of the fact that I don't think any of us could raise our hand and say, I've been pretty much faithful from the get-go. No stumbles, no falls. No, he saves us and forgives us when we fall and when we come back. And that allows us to finish well. And finally, along the way, he's the one who gives us strength through his Spirit. That one of the Spirit's ministries to us is making us persevere, making us continue. Through his Spirit, he helps us finish well. Look at the promise in Philippians. Look at Philippians chapter 1. I love this verse. Love this verse. There we go. Philippians chapter 1. Look at verse 6. I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. The one who starts the work in us is the one who completes the work in us. He gives us strength along the way. He helps us and makes us finish well. You raise your hand and say, yeah, but we have to persevere. Absolutely. That's what we're talking about. We have to every day get up and say, I'm going to endure to the end because I want to be saved. We have to do that. But when we do it, and if we do it, the one who's working that in us is him. Look over at Philippians chapter 2. Again, a beautiful just mashup of two things that appear to be two completely opposites, and God in his wisdom puts them together, and it's beautiful. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so obey, right? So now, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Finish well. Work every day, wake up. I'm going to love Jesus, and I'm going to read my Bible, and I'm going to talk to other people about Jesus. I'm going to build the kingdom of Jesus here at this place in this time. I'm going to finish well. I'm going to know God and love God more today than yesterday. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Because it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. What is that saying? That when you and I wake up in the morning and say, I want to love Jesus more today than I did yesterday. I want to read my Bible more, and I want to fight against my sin, and I want to help other people know Jesus, and I want to have courage to speak the gospel to other people. The one who's giving you and I that desire, that's to will, that's the desire. He makes us want what we should want. And then he makes us act. He makes us do what we should do. He does it in us. He gives us the strength and the help and the courage to do what he wants us to do to make us persevere. It's by his grace when you and I do finish well, when we do persevere, when we do endure and do endure to the end. It's by his grace for him working in us to will and to act that we do that. Jesus helps us persevere. He stands beside us and he helps us finish well. And our faithfulness, listen, our faithfulness, someday when I'm laid out here, you're laid out here, by God's grace, we're able to stand around and sing hymns and remember your life or my life and say, they finished well. When that happens, that will be a product of his grace and his working in us. And he will receive the glory when we finish well. So, what should we do? What should we do? Well, we should start, and then we should finish well. We should start, right? Because you can't finish well if you don't start. I so badly want to do a marathon example, but I won't. But now I did, so you know where I'm going, right? You can't finish a marathon until you start it. You can't finish well your time with God, your life, your relationship with Jesus. You can't finish this life well as a child of God if you never start as a child of God. If you never start, you can't finish well. So today, this story is an invitation to you. If you're not a Christian, listen, to start, to give yourself to Jesus. And you say, yeah, but there's so many who have started and haven't. I don't know if I'm going to be able to. And you can. You can. Because Jesus did. He finished well. You can finish well. When you give yourself to him, when you surrender, when you repent and are baptized, and you give yourself to him, his Spirit fills you, and he gives you the strength to finish well. And the one who started a good work in you on that day, when you come up out of the water as a new creation, is the one who will finish that work in you the day that you go to meet him. So if you're not a Christian, I would say, if you're listening to this, say, don't wait any longer. It's truly the best life, not just to live, not just to be in, but to finish as the loved, beloved, and forgiven child of God. And when you say, I got to do that to become a Christian, tell someone here. You can repent. You can be baptized. You can enter God's family. You can start. And then when you start, and for those of us who have started, the application is this. To finish well. You knew that was coming, right? That's where we started. It's been the thing the whole time, right? So you want to get to the end and hear God look at you and say, well done, a good and faithful servant. That's what we want to hear, right? We want to finish well, not, man, you really messed up at the end. You left me, but you did well before. That means nothing. It will mean nothing. And so you say, okay, how do we finish well? Well, real quick, why didn't Solomon finish well? He loved God, but then he left God. He let his heart be separated from God. God came out of the center of his heart. He let other stuff get in there. Everything else became the center of his heart. So in order for you and I to finish well, listen, we have to choose paths for our lives that lead us closer to God, not farther away. It's as simple as tomorrow morning getting up and reading the Bible and praying and talking to God and then singing to God in our car on the way to work. That's a path. And doing that every day, that's a path that we're on, and that leads us closer and closer and closer to God. Spending more time with him leads us closer to him. Praying for other people. Every day, praying for the same people. Say, God, please save them and give me opportunity to speak the gospel to them. And then studying with someone and pouring into someone who's a Christian and someone who's not a Christian and having people that you're being friends with and you're praying for and you're spending time with and you're studying the gospel with. That's a path. And when we go down that path, that brings us not only closer to God, but we're giving ourselves to building up his kingdom. There's paths that we walk down, and you say, that's just everyday normal Christian stuff. It is. But walking down those paths bring us closer to God, and it makes us build up his kingdom throughout our lives on this earth. So if you're a Christian, here's a question for you. What paths are you on? Are most of the paths that you're on chasing your stuff? If they are, chances are you'll end up like Solomon, because the more we chase our stuff, the more, to the exclusion of God's stuff, the farther away we get from God. How are you going to end up? So what can you do? This is a question for me. I'm going to say you, but I mean me. Each one of us, right? What can you do to give yourself more and more to be closer to God and to build up his kingdom? How do we give ourselves more to that? What does that mean for you? What's the application for you? Let's finish well. Why don't we stand? We'll pray together. Then we'll sing. God, we come to you and we thank you because you are good and you're kind, you're loving, and there's no one like you. In spite of that, being so highly exalted above us, you stoop down and you decide to love us and invite us to be close to you and to know you, to be your children. You invite us to be your children. God, I pray that the weight of that would be upon us and that we would every day draw closer and closer to you and help others draw closer to you. We'd read our Bibles and we'd study with other people and that we would live that life so that at the end we would finish well. God, I pray that each one of us would hear the words from you, well done, good and faithful servant. Pray that your Spirit would work that in us so that becomes our reality. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.